to another Directions Magazine podcast. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief. Today in this special topics interview, I sat down with John Pelletiello, Executive Director of MAPS, the Management Association for Private Photogrammetric Surveyors. MAPS counts more than 150 member firms and tracks legislative and regulatory issues that affect the geospatial profession. Today's interview focuses on a bill introduced by U.S. Congressman Doug Lamborn, a Republican from Colorado representing the 5th District, that includes Colorado Springs. Lamborn is the chairman on the Subcommittee on Energy and Mineral Resources. H.R. 4233 was introduced on March 22nd, and some of the elements of that bill offer to consolidate responsibilities for leadership in a National Geospatial Technology Administration within the U.S. Geological Survey in order to merge duplicate federal geospatial programs into a new administration and one that encourages the use of commercial data in private sector service providers. In addition, it offers to establish a National Geospatial Policy Commission to provide a priority-setting mechanism that not only includes federal agencies, but Congress and non-federal stakeholders as well. I spoke to Mr. Pelletiello about the bill, the background, and on what's next for the legislation. Thanks for taking the time to talk with me. So I really, you know, this bill came as a little bit of a surprise. Maybe you can give me some background on it, and how did Congressman Lamborn become to be associated with it?
Well, the background on this bill is the hearing on federal geospatial data management that was held by the Congress back in 2009. At that time, the Democrats were in control of the House, and it was Congressman Costa of California that was the chairman of the subcommittee, and Congressman Lamborn was the ranking Republican on the subcommittee. And I think members on both sides of the aisle learned enough in that hearing to recognize that there is a need for better coordination, better management of geospatial activities, not only in the federal government, but with regard to the federal agencies' relationship with non-federal stakeholders, state and local government, private sector, universities, and the end user community. So this legislation really is an outgrowth of that hearing. Congressman Lamborn in particular had an interest, was not pleased to hear about instances of duplication, and started working on legislation to address it. And then after the 2010 election, when the control of the House changed from the Democrats to the Republicans, Mr. Lamborn became the chairman of the subcommittee and started developing a bill in earnest.
So it really was a 2 years in the making for this to come to fruition. I just need a little bit more. I mean, he's in a district that obviously probably represents several geospatial companies. Was that part of the whole impetus for him to take the flag and run with it?
Congressman Lamborn has long recognized that there's a rather significant cluster or concentration of geospatial firms in Colorado. And in fact, the governor of Colorado, who's a Democrat, right, has also come to that realization and has an economic development initiative in Colorado to not only keep those geospatial jobs that are there, but to try to leverage that base for further growth in the state. So the political leadership in Colorado on both sides of the aisle has really recognized the rather significant presence the community has in the state. So that, I think, was a factor in Congressman Lamborn's decision to develop this bill. I remember in that hearing, even in his opening statement, he talked about several firms by name that he was familiar with that were doing some exciting things in the field. And of course, they were firms that are either in his district or close by his district in Colorado. So, you know, the old adage that all politics is local, I think, was to some degree at play here, in that the leadership of this is a member of Congress who, number one, chairs a subcommittee which has jurisdiction over USGS and therefore oversight of FGDC, and number two, has a rather significant geospatial constituency in his home state and indeed in his home district.
Yeah, and I can certainly see Governor Hickenlooper take that ball and running with it since he's a geologist by trade.
Exactly.
Yeah.
A great appreciation for what the community does.
Yeah, I think he does. So from MAPS's perspective, what aspects of the bill do you feel are most beneficial from the standpoint of your membership and the benefits? I mean, there's some obvious benefits, but anything in particular that jumps out?
Well, I think there are several. One is obviously the bill has some very strong language about government utilizing the private sector and the government not starting or carrying out capabilities to duplicate or compete with those activities and capabilities available from the private sector. But the bill does more than that and really transforms USGS in a couple of ways. Number one, in the discussions that I've had with the congressman and with his staff, I thought they were very astute in their perception that in Congress you have a rather Byzantine system of committee jurisdictions and a rather interesting way in which legislation is parceled out and referred and the like. And so it is always much more advantageous if legislation is referred to a single committee. I think it's very smart legislating when a member of Congress, particularly a subcommittee chairman, can put together legislation where his own subcommittee has the primary jurisdiction over the bill. So what Congressman Lamborn wanted to do, and in the conversations that we had with him and his staff, he said, look, I chair the subcommittee with jurisdiction over the USGS. I'm concerned that the USGS has lost the preeminent standing it once had as the premier civil federal mapping agency. And as long as I'm the chairman of the subcommittee with jurisdiction, I'd like to give it one more shot to get them back up to where they were at one time. So the other benefit of the bill is it really does try to reaffirm and reestablish that leadership role for USGS. Secondly, I think everyone can objectively look at the FGDC process and say it still leaves a lot to be desired and there's room for improvement. So I think everybody in the community benefits from a better governance system that brings together stakeholders and much more effectively promotes coordination. And then the third thing that the bill does that I think is important is it really has some language in there to make this new National Geospatial Technology Administration with USGS become a real advocate for geospatial, to go out and help educate people and expand the use of geospatial applications and embed it into government processes. So I think there's a lot in the bill that that everyone in the community, regardless of whether they're employed in government or in private sector or in a university or a nonprofit or wherever they may be, I think there's something that that everyone can find in this bill that they think will provide a benefit to them.
So let me get into that language a little bit because what did pop out was that policy commission that was stated. Does that look on as a way to replace the FGDC, and was there some understanding or some impression that the FGDC wasn't doing their job and that there wasn't very good oversight or coordination among the agencies throughout the government that were utilizing geospatial technology and doing it as efficiently as possible?
Well, you can look at it as the glass being half empty or the glass being half full, and I'm more of an optimist and say it's half full, but that means that there's still, more space in the glass to put more water in. So I think there are some strengths and some things that FGDC does well, but there's always room for improvement. In fact, the last time the GAO did a study, that was the conclusion that they came to, was that there was still much more to be done, much more improvement. So the policy commission that's in this bill really came out of a model that started within the NGAC. There was a governance committee on the NGAC that I was involved in when I was a member that was looking for a model and something that we could perhaps emulate to apply to the geospatial community. And generally speaking, the federal government has two kinds of commissions or committees. One is an advisory committee, which the NGAC is, which is only that. It's advisory. It's really not a policy-making committee. On the other end of the spectrum is a full commission, like, for example, the Federal Communications Commission or the Federal Trade Commission. But in those, while they actually establish policy, the individuals who serve on that commission, it becomes their full-time job. And the feeling within the NGAC committee when we were looking at this was there's got to be a way to come up with a body that really has some authority rather than simply advisory, but yet people can keep their day job and but yet still serve on a commission. So one of the things that we found when we went out and started looking at whether there was a model along those lines was something called the National Capital Planning Commission, NCPC.
Mm-hmm.
The National Capital Planning Commission is just like your county planning commission, except its jurisdiction is basically the mall and the downtown of Washington, and it makes land use decisions, and they're the final decision-making body on that and on policies related to that. But the members of that commission include both federal and non-federal individuals, and the non-federal individuals get to keep their day job but serve on this commission in a part-time capacity. So the National Geospatial Policy Commission in Congressman Lamborn's bill is modeled after the way the National Capital Planning Commission is structured in terms of who serves, what their authority is, and the fact that people who serve who are not from the federal government, it does not become a full-time job and subject to the normal conflict of interest rules, you get to come and be part of actually making policy. And I think it's an I think it's a quite innovative and potentially very beneficial way to do things because it's just a great way of getting the perspectives of the stakeholder community, of getting perspectives from other than the federal agencies into what should be put into place in terms of policy.
Yeah, because I think right now the way the FDGC functions is that you've got everybody who's has their own competing interests funneling into that committee, and there may be some things that deter them from going further in their in getting things done. Is that your impression?
Well, the FGDC itself, in terms of who actually sits on the committee, it is only representatives of federal agencies. So there's no official or voting state government membership. There's no local government membership. There's no private sector membership. On the other hand, you have the NGAC, which is supposed to provide that kind of input. But again, the NGAC is only advisory in nature.
Right.
So the beauty of the approach that's in Congressman Lamborn's bill is it creates a commission that, in my view, gets you the best of both worlds. Federal representation as well as non-federal, state, local, private, and so on. And it is actually policy making rather than advisory.
And it would, though, be a replacement, you think, for the FDGC?
I would view it that way.
Okay.
And the NGAC.
Yeah. Well, okay. And the NGAC as well. Okay.
Hmm. Yes.
Some of the comments when we posted this report on our publications, some of the comments that we got were, hey, the other agencies, in particular the intel community, is probably still going to fight tooth and nail to keep it, keep their requirements on their end. They're going to do their own thing anyway. I mean, do you see this as being a problem, or do you still see that the new policy commission might stick, outside the bounds of the intel or the DOD?
I think there's a strong case to be made for why there could be a separate sort of framework for intel agencies. The way I read this bill, it would certainly encourage coordination between the two wherever possible, but not try to superimpose upon the intelligence community this structure.
Mm-hmm.
And so the way I look at it and my response to those comments would be, yes, there is still that difference, but look at it this way. If this bill can become the way that you coordinate all of the geospatial activities of the federal government except intel, and that's the only thing you don't really touch, I still consider that a huge step forward from where we are today.
All right. Let me go back to something you said earlier, and that was something that was brought up in the bill, and that's this non-competitive situation with any commercial entities, in particular the commercial data sector. Was that a way to curtail any competition between something like the Landsat Data Continuity Mission and the commercial providers like GeoEye and Digital Globe? Is that what they're referring to in the bill?
No, because Landsat does not compete with Digital Globe and GeoEye because it's an entirely different resolution range of imagery. We went through Landsat commercialization, and it proved that that's not a highly successful business model because the major client for the moderate resolution imagery from Landsat is government and universities. So the community has come around to accepting and not opposing government involvement in something like Landsat. This would have a positive impact on Digital Globe and GeoEye from the standpoint of, you know, this policy that's in this bill would really preclude the government from getting into the high-resolution remote sensing satellite business because that would be duplicative. This language would also do things like say to agencies, you're not going to be buying aircraft and LIDAR systems to do LIDAR collection because there's already a very capable and qualified private sector with tremendous capacity that can do that, or hydrographic surveying, or topo, or you know whatever the data set is. So it's really focused on those kinds of activities, and those kinds of firms would benefit from the government not getting into competition with them.
Right. So there had to be obviously some discussion this week among your members since you had them in town. You know, what was the overriding impression from them about whether this is something that they would support? And obviously you support it, but what were you hearing from the members of MAPS?
The members of MAPS are supportive with the concept. I don't think anyone has really gone through the bill line by line and say, well, I agree with this provision or I disagree with that provision. But that really, in my conversation with Congressman Lamborn, and if you read the statement that he put out when introducing the bill, that really wasn't his goal. His goal was to get a discussion started. I think the congressman has publicly stated that he may not himself agree with every provision in his bill. But he and his staff looked at, for example, some of the prior National Academy of Sciences reports, the prior GAO reports, some of the other studies that have been done. They talked to folks and they collected ideas and put it into a bill and said, we know there's a need to improve the way the federal government is managing geospatial data. This is a collection of ideas. If folks have other ideas, I know MAPS would like to hear them, and I know Congressman Lamborn would like to hear them. So the point of this is, you know, it's now late March, and we have an election in November. Congress has not set any records in this Congress for the number of bills they've passed, so I think it would not be realistic to think that a bill like this would pass in the first year it's introduced. And I don't think that's Congressman Lamborn's goal. I think his goal was to bring some recognition to the issue, get a discussion going on the problem and start getting people to discuss what the proper solutions are.
So that's really where our members were
coming from. Is this is a great first step. It's flattering that that he introduced the bill and recognized this as important. I'd have to say we had Ann Castle, the Assistant Secretary of the Interior, as our luncheon speaker on Tuesday, and while clearly not endorsing the bill, she said some very favorable things about the fact that clearly the geospatial community and the way the federal government manages geospatial activities is important, and the fact that a bill has been introduced to try to address it is positive and significant. Even if you don't agree with specifically what the bill proposes, the fact that Congressman Lamborn has clearly accomplished what he set out, and that is to start a discussion, and even Secretary Castle acknowledged that.
Yeah. So you don't even anticipate there might even be hearings on the bill, and maybe it'll just be reintroduced on the next session?
I don't know. There may be a hearing. I'm not in a position to be able to say right now whether there will or will not. I know that there are discussions and there is some interest on the part of Congressman Lamborn to do a hearing. What the context of that will be, I think they're deliberating upon as we speak.
Yeah, well, and so, you know, I think some of my concern is, you know, who's going to advocate for the community. Obviously, MAPS, you know, does their job extremely well in advocating for your membership and really the only organization that can lobby on their behalf. So my concern is, you know, who are the constituents from the professional GIS and geospatial community that can advocate one way or the other for elements in the bill?
Well, let's remember, the advocacy and lobbying, in effect, are two very different things. No one is prohibited. I won't say no one. If asked, there are a variety of organizations that would testify on this bill, even if they don't, quote, lobby, unquote. And I would expect that if there is a hearing on this bill, Mr. Lamborn will want to hear from a variety of different interests and parties and sectors of our community. So I would think that he would want to hear from NISGIC. He would want to hear from somebody representing the administration or FGDC or some part of the federal establishment. I would imagine he would want to hear from somebody in local government and so on. So I think the community will have ample opportunities to be heard and offer their constructive ideas to the congressman and to the Congress in general.
Well, John, again, I want to thank you for the time. It's been a great discussion. I appreciate you taking the time, particularly this week when you've had a bunch of members in town that I'm sure created a busy schedule.
No, glad to do it. Appreciate you inviting me.
Thanks for joining us for another Directions Magazine podcast. If you'd like to comment about today's podcast, write to us at editors@directionsmag.com or leave a comment in the comments box where this podcast is posted. Thanks again for joining us, and be sure to tell a friend.